Greetings, and thank you for joining this series on knowing God, knowing Him personally, and knowing His attributes. We need the truth now more than ever. We live in an information age, but not an age of wisdom. Many seek knowledge and success, power, but few seek wisdom. And in this lesson, we are looking at the wisdom of God. Wisdom, it has been said, is the ability to see beyond the apparent to that which is real, beyond the temporary to that which is eternal. But what's fascinating is that wisdom is unique because true wisdom is actually from above. It's actually of divine origin. It's actually from God Himself. And so wisdom is a divine and infinite attribute, characteristic of God. So we're going to take a look at the wisdom of God. First, we're going to look at the wisdom of God described. Then we'll look at the wisdom of God displayed. And then we'll look at the fact that the wisdom of God is offered to you and I. God wants us to have the wisdom from above, wisdom that is from God alone. First of all, let's look at the wisdom of God described. It is described as magnificent. Isaiah 28:29, all this also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent. Wisdom is more than knowledge, although it includes knowledge. A person can have knowledge without wisdom. Wisdom is more than understanding, although it includes understanding. Some have understanding, but very few have wisdom. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge and understanding to achieve the best possible result. And wisdom, of course, is unique and magnificent because it is a divine attribute of God. So God's wisdom is His unique ability to use all of His divine attributes in perfect harmony and balance to achieve His divine will. So it involves more than knowledge, more than understanding. It includes all of His attributes. The wisdom from above, God's wisdom includes His love, His mercy, justice, righteousness, integrity, perfection, holiness, all of which work together in His magnificent wisdom. It is also infinite. God's wisdom is infinite. It has no limitations. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. So the wisdom of God is infinitely profound, and it exceeds anything that man possesses. Solomon was given wisdom by God. He asked for wisdom, and God was pleased with that request. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, he writes, "When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it." Meaning that the wisdom of God is far exceeds any of our understanding. And it is of divine origin. It's actually from God Himself. So when you look in Job chapter 12, in Job chapter 28, beginning in verse 12, Job talks about how men will spend their whole life searching for precious gems and stones, sapphires, gold. They'll go down into the deep pits of the earth, and they'll spend their whole life looking for these precious things, and they'll pass right by wisdom, which is much more powerful. So beginning in verse 12, "But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It's not in me,' and the sea says, 'It's not with me.' It cannot be purchased for gold, Nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we've heard of a report about it with our ears. God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees under the whole heavens. And he goes on, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The wisdom of God is from God himself. It is of divine origin. And since God's wisdom is infinite, think about it. Since God has all power, all knowledge, all wisdom, he cannot be defeated. He wins. No one else stands a chance. No one can outsmart God. No one can plot against God and win. No one can outmaneuver or outsmart God. His knowledge, his power, his wisdom, his understanding are infinite. God wins. No one else has a chance. That is the wisdom of God. Now, the wisdom of God is displayed in a number of ways. Let's look at five. It's displayed in creation. Proverbs 3:19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Jeremiah 51:15, he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. So God used his wisdom to create the cosmos. And this is his wisdom, which applies his knowledge and his power to fulfill his will. And of course, it's seen in the beauty and the complexity of creation. Psalms 104 is an entire chapter, an entire psalm about the beauty and the complexity of God's creation. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. In fact, God used wisdom in the creation of the cosmos. And we see that in Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, God wants us to understand wisdom. And to help us understand, he personifies wisdom to speak to us, to teach us. And in Proverbs 8 and verse 22, listen to wisdom personified, teaching us. Proverbs 8. In verse 22, the Lord possessed me, that is wisdom speaking personified. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. God's wisdom. He used wisdom with the creation of the cosmos, which means that when you obey the laws of God, you're working with the laws of the cosmos in which he created. And when you go against the laws of God, you're going against the laws of the universe. No wonder your life will be hard. God used and displayed his wisdom in creation. We also see God's wisdom displayed in his providence. The providence of God is how God brings about his plans. And it's also how God provides for his people. So the great verse on providence in the New Testament is Romans 8:28. And this is a promise. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, God's divine wisdom is working in the lives of his people. It's working things for good, for his plans, for his purposes, for his people. And that is all through his wisdom. Think about Joseph. Think about Joseph, who played a part in the plan of God, who had been sold into slavery because of the envy of his brothers. Think about how the wisdom of God is displayed in God's providence. If Joseph's brothers never sell him to the Midianites, then Joseph never goes to Egypt. If Joseph never goes to Egypt, he is never sold to Potiphar. If he's never sold to Potiphar, then Potiphar's wife never falsely accuses him of assault. If he's never falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, he's never put in prison. And if he's never put in prison, then he never meets the royal baker and butler of Pharaoh. And if he never meets the royal baker and butler of Pharaoh, he never interprets their dreams. And if he never gets to interpret their dreams, he never gets to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And if he never interprets Pharaoh's dreams, he's never made second in command of Egypt. And if he's never made second in command of Egypt, he never wisely administrates for a severe famine. And if he never wisely administrates for a severe famine, his family back in Canaan perishes. And if his family back in Canaan perishes, then the lineage of the Messiah ends. And if the lineage of the Messiah ends, then Jesus never enters the world in human form. And if Jesus never enters the world in human form, then you are dead in your sins and without hope in this world. God sees the end from the beginning. God's wisdom is displayed and shown in his providence. It's also seen, God's wisdom is also displayed in the destiny of nations. You remember Nebuchadnezzar had a disturbing dream, and he demanded that all his astrologers and magicians and sorcerers and wise men explain it to him on penalty of death. And so they gathered around and they said, "Tell us your dream and we'll tell you its interpretation." But remember, Nebuchadnezzar was shrewd. He didn't want fake answers. And he says, "No, you tell me the dream and then tell me its interpretation, so I know you're not just making it up." And of course, they started freaking out. They were saying, "No one can do this except God." Well, the king gives the decree to kill the wise men and astrologers and magicians and sorcerers. And Daniel, of course, has been recruited into this group of wise men, and he sends a message saying, "Tell the king to give me some time, and I will give him the answer." And that night, Daniel and his friends went to God in prayer. And Daniel heard their prayer and gave Daniel the vision, the answer, in a night vision. And so we pick up in Daniel 2:19, then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we have asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand." So Daniel went to the king and told him this dream. He explained this dream to him, that this dream actually revealed the next four worldwide empires, and how in the days of the kings of the fourth empire, the fourth and last worldwide empire, God would set up an eternal kingdom that would never be destroyed. And so when Daniel goes before the king, Daniel answered in the presence of the king, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart." I just find it interesting that Daniel, first of all, he makes it clear, this is not from me, this is from God. And God didn't reveal this to me because I'm wiser than anyone else. He revealed it so that we can reveal this dream to you and what it means. God is going to set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And we know that happened. We know that happened. In fact, we know that because that kingdom was established in Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church, we now know that Jesus is now king. So we see the wisdom of God displayed in the destiny of nations, in the providence of God, and in the rule of Jesus, the king. You see, God doesn't just know the end from the beginning. He uses his wisdom to bring about the empires and the nations to fulfill his will. And he established the king of God, the kingdom of God, and Jesus is king. And you see this in Psalms chapter 2. When you look at Psalms 2, listen to this psalm. Talk about Jesus as king, even before the kingdom is established. "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.' He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him." The rulers of the Jews conspired with the rulers of the Roman Empire against Jesus. And God used their envy and their hatred and their bloodthirst for power against them. They killed the anointed one as a criminal on a cross, and it only fulfilled the will of God. And now Jesus is king. God raised him from the dead. God gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. And now all nations will break against this rock. And people still think they're smarter than God. Really? All nations are going to break against this rock of truth. And in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. To the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge. Yes, at times I get discouraged, sometimes distressed over the condition of the world, over the condition of our country, and yet God has set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And Jesus has all authority in heaven on earth. And God's wisdom is displayed. It's displayed in God's divine will for the nations. It's displayed in the fact that Jesus rules as king. And it's displayed in the redemption of mankind. Who but God would use the wickedness of man to fulfill his own purposes, allowing the death of Jesus on the cross to pay our debt of sin in full? They thought they were stopping Jesus from taking their power, but all they did was fulfill God's eternal plan to save man. When Paul thought about this incredible mystery of salvation, he's just overwhelmed. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Even the enemies of God who try to fight against God only fulfill his will when he brings about his plans and his purposes, regardless of what people try to do to stop him. So we see the wisdom of God declared. We see it displayed. And we see the wisdom of God given to us. Wisdom is a priceless gift that God wants to give you. He wants you to build your life on a solid foundation. He actually wants you to have the wisdom that is from above. And so let's just take a look at what wise living requires. First of all, it begins with reverence for God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Without the Lord, there is no wisdom, because true wisdom is from the Lord. God is the true source of all wisdom. It emanates from God himself. And true wisdom begins with awe and reverence for the Lord, the source of all wisdom. Somebody said that those who fear the Lord fear nothing else, but those who don't fear the Lord fear everything else. There is a counterfeit wisdom that is not from above. It's actually from below. It's a wisdom that people desire because it's a wisdom without the fear of the Lord. You know, every good thing is given from God, but the enemy creates a counterfeit. And so there is a different wisdom from below. James talks about it in chapter 3:13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. This is the wisdom that dominates the fallen world, a self-seeking wisdom that is not from God. It's actually from Satan. It dominates the fallen world in rebellion to God. It corrupts hearts. It corrupts families, communities, cities, even nations. People like it because it's it's useful in getting people what they want, worldly things, such as power and position and pleasure. But this wisdom is not from God. The wisdom from God is not self-seeking. Notice the wisdom from God. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the wisdom from above. It begins with reverence for God. So that's number one. Number two, wise living requires learning from God. Because true wisdom is from God and only from God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So God gives wisdom to those who seek it. Ecclesiastes 2:26, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. You know, Solomon asked for wisdom to help him lead God's people Israel. And you know, the Queen of Sheba crossed barren deserts to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And the library in Medford, Oregon has an inscription cut into marble on the side of one of the walls. An inscription found in the 10th century from the Queen of Sheba. I went in through the treasury of wisdom, and I drew for myself the waters of understanding. We can't cross deserts to hear the wisdom of Solomon as she did, but God has given us this wisdom in his word. In fact, God wants you to have wisdom, and he gave you an entire book dedicated to giving you wisdom, the book of Proverbs. But God's wisdom is found in his word. And David knew that. David wrote, "You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts." So David sought wisdom from God in his word, and that's where wisdom is given to us. And it's the same with us. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So wise living begins with reverence for God. Wise living requires learning from God. And wise living requires trusting God. The psalmist writes, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." We need the wisdom to realize we don't have all the answers, but God does. Somebody said, God isn't asking you to figure it out. He's asking you to trust that he already has. So we need to trust God. You know, Solomon shared an interesting story in Ecclesiastes of a poor wise man. And we don't know a lot of the details, but notice what he says. "I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. Apparently, the city was surrounded by a powerful king, and he was going to take this city. And yet there's this one poor man who is wise, who actually saves the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered this poor man. But it's worse than that. Not only did they not remember him, they despised him. Look at verse 16. "So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. We don't know a lot about the details of this situation, but we do know human nature. Apparently, this man who saved the city, although he was poor, he became despised. This poor man's wisdom that saved the city is despised. Probably from somebody in the city who was embarrassed that a poor wise man did what he and the whole city could not do. So some self-important, envious person despised this poor wise man. Probably spoke evil against him behind his back and caused the city to despise him. People like worldly counterfeit wisdom because it makes them feel superior. And the most misleading way to feel wise is to feel superior. We need to trust God, not people, not opinions, not what other people think about us, not how self-important we think we are. Wisdom requires trusting God. And wise living requires asking God. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. God doesn't mind at all when we admit to him that we need his guidance, we need his direction, we need his wisdom. And he doesn't withhold it from us because we don't deserve it. God wants to give us wisdom, whether we deserve it or not, because he knows we need it and wants us to have it. We may not always understand God's ways, but we can trust him because God never makes a mistake. We can ask God for wisdom. And lastly, wise living requires obeying God. And that's what Jesus said to sum up the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." Jesus is talking about building your life on the rock of truth. And the wise man is the one who hears what Jesus says and does it. This is the man who builds his life on the rock of Jesus Christ. No storm can take this man down. But everyone who hears what Jesus says and doesn't do it, they're building on sand. And the time will come when it will be destroyed. Wise living requires reverence for God, learning from God, trusting God, asking God, and obeying God. God wants us to have his wisdom. His wisdom is infinite, and our wisdom is lacking. We need wisdom. And Paul said, "The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out." Listen, you are never too old to not need wisdom. And you're never too young to not need wisdom. We all need wisdom. And remember, as one person said, the purpose of a goal is not to just achieve the goal. Rather, in pursuit of a goal, you will become more than you were. And that's the goal, to become more. More well, more confident, more hopeful, more positive, more inspired, more encouraged, more Christ-like. True happiness is not contained in what you get. True happiness is found in who you become. We need the wisdom from above. Now, we will not always feel like we have enough. But remember, the purpose of a goal is not just to achieve the goal. Rather, in pursuit of the goal, you will become more than you were. And that's the goal. So the psalmist says, teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Remember, wisdom is a divine attribute from God. That's what makes it so unique. It is from above. It is of divine origin, not worldly origin. But God wants us to have it, and he offers it to us in his word. May God bless you in growing and walking with God.